Welcome to the Social Podcast, where no discussion or debate is off limits.
Oh, hello there, and welcome to the Social. We are delighted to have news anchor Andrea Bain back with us today.
They let me back in the building.
Yes, we did. We did. We had so much fun yesterday.
Yeah, we did have lots of fun.
So we're starting with the story that's captivating people around the world. Jury deliberations are set to begin in the defamation case between Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. And over the past 6 weeks, we heard intimate and disturbing details about the alleged domestic abuse in their marriage. And Amber, in particular, faced a lot of ridicule. I'd even say stronger words than that, perhaps. And a columnist for The Guardian is warning that Me Too is over if we don't listen to imperfect victims like Amber Heard. So does this case mark the end of Me Too in your mind?
And that's a big question.
Yeah.
I feel like we should start with what this trial is supposed to be about.
Yes, I think that's a great
question.
Yes, please.
Okay, so this is a defamation trial, and it is over Amber Heard's op-ed in The Washington Post. It's an article that she wrote.
Never mentioning him by name.
Mm-hmm. And Johnny Depp is suing her for defaming him in this article. Mm-hmm. And at the crux of this lawsuit is this particular sentence. And so I thought we'd put it up on a board, right? Mm-hmm. So the sentence has to do with Amber basically opening with 2 years ago, and I'm paraphrasing, right, here we go. 2 years ago, I became a public figure representing domestic abuse, and I felt the full force of our culture's wrath for women who speak out. Mm. So
goosebumps?
The lawsuit is supposed to be whether or not that thesis defamed him. And the thing is, 2 years ago, which was like back in 2016, mm-hmm. She was a public figure, mm-hmm. so that's a fact, representing domestic violence because it had become public, mm-hmm. given that she was a public figure, mm-hmm. that she was accusing her then husband of domestic abuse. And as
for
a result,
she got a restraining reorder.
Right? Yeah. She got a restraining order. And as a result, the culture attacked her. So she was writing about that. Mm-hmm. The trial, though, now in the public discourse has become about not that. Mm. So I feel like, you know, for all the people talking about this and mm-hmm. it's trending, I don't know if they're talking about the legal arguments about what they should be debating.
But I think that, like, obviously, Johnny Depp claims that he decided to sue her because people obviously put two and two together. It wasn't hard to figure out who she was talking about. And he felt that he was, his financial life and his career was impacted mm-hmm. by these allegations. And I think that's probably true. I don't mm-hmm. think people were probably offering him jobs in the same way. And he said he wanted to go on the record to prove to his children, so that his children, mm-hmm. and I'm paraphrasing now, but that his children had an idea based on these allegations about him, and he wanted to make sure that they didn't have that idea.
Right. Which, that's why he was suing her.
Right.
My point is, the public discourse mm-hmm. is not about that.
Right.
No. Mm-hmm.
No.
We have a Facebook comment from Rebecca who says, in my opinion, they are both imperfect victims. There is evidence suggesting Amber Heard has not been entirely honest. And there is evidence showing Johnny Depp can be explosive. I think they are terrible for each other. And I agree, Rebecca, like this, the only thing I think that is certain is that this was a toxic, horrific sort of relationship. And I also believe you don't have to believe everything Amber's saying, but you can still feel sympathy. I think that's what I keep tripping up on, that everything we learned in the Me Too moment, when I think back on it, was like we learned that victims aren't perfect. Victims also tend to stay with their partners. And we learned that in the courtroom, victims are labeled as being difficult. They're painted as mentally unstable, hysterical, gold digger, drama seeker. And that is exactly what we're seeing with Amber Heard. And she's like the amount of vitriol and also the amount of vitriol that people are sending her way, death threats with glee.
Mm-hmm.
I find that really disturbing.
Yeah. People instructing this young lady to kill herself is so disturbing. And I totally agree with what you're saying, because when you think about this, this was a marriage. These are two people who once loved each other and wanted to spend the rest of their lives together. And to see that their end of their relationship is this dumpster fire of you said this and you said this, and they're in court and people are watching it on TikTok, to me, is the saddest part about this. But I'm going to hold back my opinion because I see everybody, of course, no matter what it is, everybody has an opinion. It's the day that we're in, day and age that we're in right now with social media. Comment sections are full, and if you're reading them, you see that everybody is on Johnny Depp's side, the majority of people, which is really sad. And the reason why I'm not taking a side is for two reasons: Britney Spears and the O.J. Simpson trial. And I'll tell you why. So I'll start with the O.J. Simpson trial, because I was old enough to know what was going on at the time. And I remember, and I'm embarrassed to say this on camera, but I have to be truthful, I was on O.J.'s side. Because his lawyer, one of his lawyers, Johnny Cochran, did a great job. And he made this case about race. And he's like, this is not about the death of these two people. This is about them trying to take down a black man. And at the time, there was a lot of racial discourse, and it tapped that nerve as a black person. And I was like, you're right. And mind you, OJ is not a black celebrity who necessarily aligns himself with black people in the first place. But we all stood beside him, and we just, a lot of black people decided to support him. Years later, I watched this series, People versus OJ, by Ryan Murphy. Brilliant. And I'm thinking, I know this case. I'm just going to watch for entertainment. At the end of it, I was so embarrassed about the things that I said and how I thought and how I was led by the court of public opinion to believe that this man, where there was clearly domestic violence, was innocent, and that I got led down the wrong path to thinking that this was about them trying to vilify this very innocent, good-looking black man who was a great, who had friends who were in the police force. I ate that up. And what I learned from that is, let's all calm down, because when you're when you're in a case with a very popular person that everybody likes, you're not going to win, because people are standing outside of the courtroom with signs and blowing kisses as we see Johnny Depp doing. How is Amber Heard supposed to? People are booing when she walks into the courtroom. Let's let the dust settle and see how we feel about all the facts, because people are only cherry picking the things that they want to hear in all the 6 weeks that this case has been going on. And the same thing with Britney. I was an entertainment reporter, and I was part of the mob who was picking on her and saying, you know what? She deserves this. She's taking everything for granted. I watched Free Britney Spears, and I'm embarrassed to say that I was part, as a woman, I was part of that mob. So I'm reserving all of my opinions about this, these two people in this very dramatic, toxic relationship that they were in. And I want some time to pass and for the dust to settle before I give my opinion.
It's wise. I think more people should take
No one does that.
Take a beat. Take a moment. We're going to move on with being too much. Because have you ever worried about being too much? A Vice article explores how that fear shrinks our horizon. So are you too much? Who's too much here?
I think I am. And if you have ever seen me riding my bike, usually on a Friday, and you see me talking to myself, it's for one of two reasons. One, I'm practicing my accents. And number two, I'm telling myself to shut up. I'm like, shut up. And it usually comes after a week of co-hosting. And my voice is in my head. I am sick of my own voice. I am sick of my gesticulations. I'm sick. I can't even look at myself right. I'm sick of my mannerisms. I'm sick of being too deliberate or not deliberate enough. And it gets in my head. And I just don't want to hear the sound of my own voice. And very seldomly, someone might say on social media that they feel the same way. And it's like, dude, try living in this thing. I know what you mean.
I don't know if I see you as too much. Like, I guess maybe we have ideas about what we describe as too much. So you're talking about maybe mannerisms or expressions. I think a lot of times women are, when they say that I feel too much, it's like the way that they also dress is too extra, too out there, too over the top, or that you're too opinionated. Like and these are the ways in which I think that women get boxed into these little holes of like, okay, you got to be the Goldilocks version of a woman. You can only be, you know, like palatable to like the most people. And if you're anything outside of that, you're going to get attacked. And I will say mostly by other women. We've seen this all the time. I mean, I have these fantasies of myself. If I could dress any way I wanted to, and I mean, I'm kind of doing it the last few days, is like, just like over the top. I would love to wear like tulle skirts, like crinolines, and like have pink hair, but I feel that I would be constantly scrutinized. I don't have the time and patience for it. So I think we would like, we have to check ourselves and the way in which we also judge other people for being extra. Don't you think?
For sure. I think, though, too, like, you know, to go back to, you know, why
why would you not wear the things you want to wear? Like, would you allow other people to dictate what you want?
It's a great question. I just don't have the time or patience to deal with people asking questions or talking.
Well, why would you have to deal with them?
I guess you're right. It's a good question. But this is the thing. I'm reminded every time I'm around kids, including my own, that kids are born extra.
Yeah.
They don't give
absolutely
a crap. And we somehow lose, like, I don't know when we lose that, but we lose it.
Yeah.
I think from the time, I know for me, every single report card I had from like grade 1 to grade 8, they always said, Andrea's a great student, but she talks too much.
Oh, really?
Andrea's a great student, but she's too loud. Andrea's a great, always, she's good, but if she could just dial it down a little bit. And by the time I got to high school, I was always thinking about what I was wearing, what I was doing. Oh. Was I being too much? Did I say too much? Did I put my hand up and answer too many questions in class? Because I don't want to stand out. And I start to pull back and turn down the volume on me, which was horrible when I think back at it. And it's really sad. And it's this social tightrope I feel like women were always walking of being just the right amount for people to be palatable. Right? And I feel like the other day I went to this amazing thing where it was karaoke bingo. So much fun. And then I volunteered to do a lip sync battle. And I got Britney Spears' Gimme More. And I decided after maybe a glass of wine or two that I was going to not worry about what people think. Because I'm a news anchor. I always got to think about what I'm saying, what I'm wearing. Is it too much chest? Is it too much? Am I sitting the right way? And I was like, I was in this environment where I was going to let it go. And that music dropped. I did the splits. I rolled over couches. I smushed a man's face into my bosom. I lost all the inhibitions. People were clapping and I was like, oh, you like? And I turned up the volume. Yeah. And when I was done, by the way, I won. I won the competition. I felt this euphoria and then like mixed with anxiety of like, what are people going to think? Oh my gosh, did I do too much? But I had so much fun. And my girlfriend was like, you got to get your prize. And I was like, I don't want the prize. Mm. I just had a moment that I haven't had in so long where I wasn't worried about what people thought of me being too much. And I did it.
Where do you think too much comes from? Oh.
I want to say men. I want to say men.
Well, it is the end of an era in daytime television. Ellen DeGeneres wrapped up her talk show yesterday after 19 seasons. Like, that's a long time.
It's a long time.
What did you think about this? What do you think about her and her legacy?
Oh, there's just so many lovely things. I always loved it when Ellen, like, interviewed kids because she talked to them like they were adults, which I just think is very, very funny. Mm-hmm. There were so many incredible moments. But you know what I like most about Ellen is the way she dressed.
Yeah.
It might seem like a small thing, but we became accustomed to seeing women on television look and present themselves in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And then Ellen came wearing sneakers and sweater vests and blazers and little collared shirts under sweater vests. And I just found it delightful.
Mm. Mm.
I think that 19 years in TV, like we work in TV, so we can appreciate like
it's huge.
That's a legendary run, right?
Yeah.
And as a talk show host, to like own the afternoon, essentially after a time when Oprah Winfrey owned the afternoon,
she
right?
She was those a are queen big, of the afternoon right. at 4 o'clock. Absolutely.
So those are big, like the shoes to fill. Mm-hmm. What surprises me then is how muted and quiet this ending has been. Normally, when a TV show comes to an end, the fanfare out of Hollywood, the big events, you know, they turn it into a spectacular. Like it goes too much, and it's really telling to me that it was time.
Mm. Yeah.
Because no one really talked about Ellen leaving. Like, you know, we're talking about it today, but it's not leading our show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But I don't know. I don't think it's so much that it was her time to go as it was that tweet that kicked things off. A comedian tweeted, tell me your stories of Ellen being mean to you. Mm. And I don't even think he realized what it was going to start. And the hit the fan and thousands of people came forward and it turned into an investigation. Former employees came forward alleging everything from racial bias to sexual assault. Like it was a disaster for her. And it happened during the hiatus before her season 18. And she came back, but you know, the ratings, it was never the same. And I think it was part of the problem was her show at the very end. Remember her words, be kind to one another.
Yeah.
And then you find out that in fact, for years on this very show, she was not being kind to her staff and she had no idea what was going on, which a lot of people had a hard time believing. And it's one of those things where I think especially when you're in this industry, you got to know when to leave.
If
she had just left, because she was thinking about leaving and making that season before her last season, and if she had done that, the stories would have still come out, but it wouldn't have been this real sad fizzle of seesaw ratings and people kind of looking at her. it's really sad that it's ended like this because she really did have an impactful show. I loved watching it. I cried, I laughed, I danced. But you're right, it has gone out with a little bit of a whimper. Mm.
It is hard to say if part of the problem was that she had this brand of being kind and then this information, because I think that there have been tons of male talk show hosts who have been had horrible reputations and not been kind been eviscerated in quite the same way. William on Facebook says, I remember loving her stand-up as a kid. Her humor was always so unique, self-deprecating and charming in the early years. In the last few years, it changed to silly jokes, scaring people for no reason, and pies in the face. It was time to go, take a break, and come back with a good stand-up show. So, William, that'll be interesting to see if she reinvents herself and comes
back. Perspective. Yeah. I like that perspective, William.
After 19 years, like, it's also over and above, in addition, maybe,
to the stuff.
To what you said. It's about getting stale. Like, how many?
19 years?
Yeah.
Like, do you, because she's friends with all the celebrities.
Yeah.
So it becomes weird to be like, hi, Jennifer Aniston. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Well, you were just at dinner with her last
but
night.
Wait, Oprah did 25.
Yeah,
Oprah did 25.
So
Oprah focused more on real people instead of like celebrities.
But then Ellen had a nice balance of real people and celebrities as well.
Yeah. I don't think Ellen does that though. Ellen is celebrity after celebrity and then games and people popping out of like, I don't like the scaring thing.
No.
The scaring thing is bad. I hated that.
Subscribe to The Social Podcast so you don't miss a fiery debate. Until next time, socialites.